Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Stalled growth is the rule, not the exception, even for the best managed companies. That's especially true in unpredictable economic environments, such as the ones we're experiencing today. Steve McKee commissioned a study of 700 companies that had at one time been among the nation's fastest growing businesses. In his book, When Growth Stalls, McKee presents compelling knowledge about how and why companies lose their way, and he offers practical advice about how they can rekindle that growth. Steve McKee is president and co-founder of McKee Wallwork Cleveland, a full-service marketing communications firm that has twice been awarded the American Marketing Association's Effie Award, one of the industry's highest honors. He has more than two decades' experience coaching troubled companies as they look to better position themselves for success. Welcome to Edgewise, Steve.
Thank you.
Now, you undertook a study about why companies stall. Why don't you tell us about that?
Absolutely. I lived through a stall, and that's what led to the study. My company was a very fast-growth startup. In our first year of eligibility, we made the Inc. 500 list of the fastest growing private companies in America, and we're pretty excited about that. And subsequently, for 2 years, we drifted. And it was a very, very difficult time with no rational explanation. Mm-hmm. Today, we look at the economy and you can blame things on that. At that time, we couldn't. So being marketers, we undertook a marketing research study to see if we could find the answers. And the results were really quite revealing.
And what exactly did that suggest?
There's two important things. The first was we weren't alone. Our first study was among Inc. 500 companies, and we found that of those who had been named to the list, about one in five stalled, which removed some of the psychological burden that was on me as the managing partner of my company.
Of course.
But the second thing it revealed that was fascinating to me was while there are external dynamics that hinder growth, we're certainly experiencing them today, what really matters is what happens inside. Companies change inside, or manifestations of things that were there but dormant arise when growth stalls, and that's what tends to keep companies down.
In your book, you refer to the external factors as market tectonics. What exactly do you mean by that?
Just like plate tectonics in the geological world, when the ground shakes, everybody shakes. Doesn't matter how well built your building is. And that's what market tectonics are. There are three global factors that tend to get blamed for stalled growth, and certainly have an impact. The first one, of course, being the economy. Then something we call changing industry dynamics, like a new technology that's introduced. And the third one is, of course, competition, which every company faces. Those affect all companies. Some companies weather the storm fairly well, and others don't. And that's where the real difference lies.
And is that due to these internal problems?
We found that it is. Every organization faces really all three over the course of its lifetime. Some cope with them better than others, and we found the reason is their internal health. And the reason I wrote the book was we did this research, and I speak on our findings over the course of time to different groups, and every time I spoke to a group, the room was silent, and people were paying rapt attention. Mm-hmm. And they would come up to me afterwards and say, boy, have you been in our conference room? Have you been a fly on the wall of our business? Because you really understand what's going on inside. And that's when I knew we really were onto something, that it wasn't just true of what we had experienced, but true of the larger economy.
And so what are these internal factors?
The four factors are a lack of consensus among the management team, which has the worst impact, a loss of focus in the marketplace, loss of nerve, which a lot of companies are experiencing these days, and inconsistency. They all add up and turn into a vicious cycle that can really keep companies down.
Okay, let's start with the first, lack of consensus. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm fond of quoting Margaret Thatcher because when I say lack of consensus, people, especially strong leaders, can say, management by committee? No, that's not what I'm talking about. Margaret Thatcher said consensus is the absence of leadership, and she's right.
Can you explain?
Absolutely. There are times when a leader needs to make an executive decision and say, this is the way we're going. But just to continue the analogy, when a president or a prime minister, for example, commits a country to war, which is something that they need to do, and sometimes it's in the heat of the moment with only information that they have, that's executive decision, and that's important in any company. But if the armed services and all the members thereof don't have consensus about the mission, what they're trying to accomplish and when, you're going to have carnage on the battlefield. Same thing is true in business. There are times when a strong CEO needs to make executive decisions. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the senior level team, and you can define senior level however you'd like. The deeper in the organization you go, the better, needs to have consensus about the situation we're facing, what we're trying to accomplish, what this company is about, and how we're going to get there. And when growth stalls, divisions or disagreements that probably were there all along begin to rise to the surface because tensions get higher, emotions start to fray because you're worried about the company. And in a down economy, you're worried about your own retirement plan and your college saving plans, and you might be being foreclosed upon. You bring that emotional baggage with you to the conference room in management meetings. And whereas when somebody might have made a suggestion, a strategic recommendation in the past, you'd let it go because we're all growing, we're making more money. Now you question it, either overtly or passively aggressively. That lack of consensus can cause a company to drift for some period of time because nobody puts a label on it. You know, I've never seen a press release from a company saying, we're suffering from a lack of consensus. Nobody labels it.
Right.
Often in business, it is subtle.
Yeah.
It's not, I disagree with you. It's a rolling of the eyes, an avoidance of a meeting, or an avoidance of a decision in a meeting. And that can go on for some period of time before anybody calls it out. And that's why it's such an insidious problem that the worse things are in the corporate environment, the easier it is for that to fester and just go on and on and on. You can blame it on other things. Sometimes there's turnover involved, but it can really be a difficult problem. And until it's addressed, they can't get on with things.
Exactly. And executives often don't even expect lack of consensus. They believe when they suggest a vision, a strategy, or an action that everybody's on board. And I think that's probably part of the problem.
There are a few visionary leaders, their names are in the business press all of the time, that foster consensus simply because people believe in them. So if Steve Jobs says, we're going to invent a new industry, I'm going to believe him.
Right.
Most CEOs maybe would like to think they have that sort of influence over their organization, but they don't. It has to be genuine consensus. You can't bring people along by the sheer force of your gravitational pull. People who are on your management team are smart, by the way. It has to be a sound decision that they can grasp and understand and believe in. A CEO proceeds without consensus at his or her own risk.
Mm-hmm. Now, lack of nerve. Can you talk about that?
Loss of nerve. It's especially happening now with this economy-wide problem.
Uh-huh.
Our research found that in any healthy economic year, about 12 or 13% of companies are stalled. Sometimes you can have a loss of nerve in that environment, but especially when the whole economy is stalled. And it's usually manifested by pulling in the reins too far, being so afraid to invest that you cut marketing, you cut R&D, you cut innovation, you just trim everything that doesn't feel like it hurts right now.
Hmm. Right.
So companies that lose their nerve when growth stalls tend to cut those things that feel the least pain in the short term. And that's just hamstringing the company for a long term, which, by the way, reinforces the consensus problem down the road.
Well, why is that?
As the economy starts to rebound and things start to pick up, many companies are going to assume that their fortunes will rise with it. But because of these internal dynamics, a lot of them are going to continue in their stall and they're not going to really know what hit them.
And what of risk resistance that will occur out of fear? What are your thoughts on that?
A lot of companies are being driven by fear, and I sympathize.
Mm.
I run a company, and we've certainly had to cut back in this recession, but we've been careful not to cut muscle, not to cut our future off. And that's a daily decision that you need to make. Courage isn't not being afraid. It's doing the right thing in the face of fear, and it takes courage to be in business these days.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think this takes us to the loss of focus. Can you give us some examples?
Mm-hmm. Loss of focus is sort of a double-edged sword. Sometimes companies stall because they lost their focus in good times. They think they're so successful in one industry that they can, for instance, extend their brand beyond it. And then when hit with market tectonic, the house of cards collapses. In other cases, and probably more commonly, when growth stalls, we start chasing customers. We start chasing revenue that maybe in good times we wouldn't be going after. And it tends to dilute the focus of an organization to the point where its edges become dull in the marketplace and people can't really tell what it's about.
Right.
You can do that by chasing new industries. You can do that by cutting your pricing too far. There's a lot of ways companies lose focus in an effort to try and regenerate growth, sometimes a desperate effort. And that too is a reflection of the loss of nerve and can fuel and feed this lack of consensus. I think you're seeing how all these things tend to work together.
And together, they cause marketing inconsistencies.
Sure. If you're unfocused, you're going to be trying new things. You're going to be inconsistent. It's an incredible statistic I came across that just really struck me. When Jay Leno signed off on The Tonight Show, it was his largest audience ever, and he did an 8.8 rating. 8 or 9% of households watched him. 17 years earlier, when Johnny Carson signed off, he did a 32. So in the time period from Johnny Carson to Jay Leno, our attention as consumers has gotten so divided by not only multiple television channels, but the internet. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So when a marketer, any kind of a company, is trying to get consumer or prospect attention, they're really fighting an uphill battle. And if you're changing your positioning or changing your messaging frequently, you're starting over frequently. And while inside it might feel like we're trying something new and that's a good thing, what you're really doing is hurting your company.
Right. In your book, you have a full chapter devoted to the vicious cycle. Could you expand on that a little bit?
It's just this awful pinball machine of internal dynamics that can freeze a company in its tracks, especially for a company that's used to success and maybe showing year-over-year growth.
Right.
Growth stalls for whatever reason. It could be an internal reason. It could be an external reason. We could be hit with a recession, or there could be a new technology that we didn't anticipate. And the consensus among the management team starts to break down, and we start looking for solutions, and we're not really sure where to go. And so perhaps we try something we shouldn't from a focus standpoint. Perhaps we're spreading our efforts too thin. And so the loss of nerve manifested by a lack of spending, a lack of putting the marketing freight train behind anything, starts to manifest itself, which only perpetuates the stall, which further perpetuates the arguments in the boardroom and the lack of consensus, which tends to further shut companies down. And okay, we're not going to invest in anything until we figure this out, which tends to fuel inconsistency.
Exactly.
Speaking from experience, looking back on what we went through, it's easy to see that's what was happening. When you're in the midst of it, you're dealing with one meeting at a time, one strategy at a time, one issue at a time, and you're not really sure what to do. You go into the management meeting to solve this strategic challenge and something happens. Key player doesn't show up, or there's an argument that arises that derails you until tomorrow. And you can get derailed until tomorrow, over and over and over again. Not to mention the changing dynamics in the marketplace. So business leadership is not for the faint of heart.
That's definitely true. Okay, Steve, I have a question for you. What should organizations do?
First thing you need to do is recognize that these issues are going on within the firm, which requires a certain amount of emotional intelligence, and start to address the consensus issue. There's a reason that we lead with that, and that's because we have found that until you can form a new consensus about what to do, it's no use trying to solve the other things.
Right.
Consensus can be built in small chunks. And what we found is the most successful way to begin to build consensus is to correctly diagnose the problems facing the organization. Those tend to be external, and it's not something that you tend to argue about. What we tend to argue about is our strategic response to those issues. And so if we can form a new consensus about, okay, what are we really facing, and what is our short-term objective in overcoming it, that's a foundation of consensus on which a company can build. And as I lay out in the book, you begin to build on top of that other issues of consensus. For instance, who is it we really are trying to serve? And what is our core value proposition? Sometimes that needs to change because of the stall. Sometimes it needs to be reaffirmed. All of those things can be worked on, but built on that foundation of consensus.
Hmm. And just to wrap this up, you have some websites where you have more information.
Yes, we do. When Growth Stalls is the main site. And of course, I have the When Growth Stalls blog, which you can find through the site. Importantly, though, at the When Growth Stalls website, and I'd really recommend this to anybody, there's a self-diagnosis, and we won't even know you're there.
Sure.
We made a decision not to make people register. We really wanted this to be a service. We distilled 20 questions out of our research. It's very surface level, so don't take it too seriously. But anybody can go into that in a period of 3 minutes, do a little self-test on themselves and their company. And we recommend that people do that because they can begin to get a sense of to what extent they're struggling with these issues. And then we further recommend that they have their management team do the same so that if the problem of denial is in place, they can face it. And then print out their reports, get into a conference room and have a game of show and tell. That will surface the consensus issue if there is one, and it starts companies on the road to recovery. The other site is called findyournerve.com, and it's based on the proposition that the economy is us. It's not some nameless, faceless entity. It's us. And if we all decided to get back to business on the same day, we would.
Right.
So it's an attempt to foster renewed nerve in the marketplace. We call it a microzine because every day it has one column by a notable CEO or author, one fact about stalled growth, one poll question, and it's meant to last just for one quarter. We launched it for the fourth quarter of 2009, hoping that it will be unnecessary as the new year dawns. We may keep it going if we have to, but it lets you know there are other people out there dealing with the same sort of loss of nerve issues, and it's a daily dose of encouragement. That's what we found from people who are responding.
We've been speaking to Steve McKee, author of the new book, When Growth Stalls. Steve, thanks for being with us on Edgewise.
Thank you.
With only an internet connection and a browser, you can tap into AMA's world-class training. The American Management Association is bringing live instructor-led training right to your desktop. AMA's new virtual seminar offering features a live virtual format that is highly interactive and very user-friendly. It's taught by the same expert, world-class faculty that run our classroom sessions, and the high-quality content has been specially engineered to run in an online format. You get real-time online interaction with your course leader and your fellow attendees. You will receive a USB headset so that you can not only listen but talk to your classmates and your instructor. So take advantage of these offerings, enhance your career journey by building your skills, and you don't have to take any time away from the office. For more information about AMA's virtual seminar offering, visit our website at www.amanet.org. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.